go ahead and start with the prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. So this is the presentation on best practices, or not best practices, I think is the title. My name is Bill Messerly. I'm with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio in Columbus, Ohio. Columbus, Ohio has a large AM radio station that reaches about 4 million people. Our central Ohio area is about 2 million people, so it's a large market with one station. And then we also have presenting today, we have Cindy Nicholas. She's the executive director at Presence Radio Network in Portland, Maine, seven stations. And then we also have Steve Splunkowski, the executive director of Real Presence Radio. And that network is 15 radio stations and over 20 years of experience here. And then I see many, many more years of experience out there. So as we discuss things, feel free to raise up your hand if you have an idea that you think could benefit another Catholic radio apostolate. Best practices, I've narrowed it down to three areas that I use to run our station. And the first is mission and prayer. As you know, mission and prayer, John Paul II, open wide the doors to Christ, don't be afraid. We try to do that every day. We try to pray every day as a staff. And we believe that that is the central part of the work that we do. Why does radio work? Even now, in 2016, I bet you if you were asked to fill in the dots here, what is the most effective way of reaching souls, you would probably say smartphones, wouldn't you? Take a look on the board. 93% of the U.S. population is reached through the radio. Television's 84%. Smartphones, 74%. So although the trends will continue to shift slightly towards that smartphone area, radio is still very effective. Just a quick survey. We're going to talk about your radio market. Your radio market as it relates to potential listeners. How many people have a radio station or a network of radio station that reaches 50,000 souls or less? And the reason I'm doing this is just to get a sense for where, when we get questions, where you might be coming from. What about 50,000 to 100,000 souls? And again, that's for your whole network if you have multiple stations. 100,000 to 200,000? 200,000, 500,000? 500,000 to a million souls? We're counting every soul. It's Catholic, Christian, or anybody. So I know that Fort Wayne has more than 200,000 people in your market. I thought that perhaps that you were fudging a little bit. You might raise it quite twice, huh? A million or more souls. So we have a mix of different radio stations. And when you talk to one of your the folks you talk to at lunch, dinner, make sure you ask them from what perspective they're coming when they're asking questions about their radio station. One of the things that I've found over the years is that at the end of the conference, a small radio station will come up to me and say, yes, we need high school football coverage every Friday night. And that long form programming is not appropriate typically for a very small station. They have you have other issues to deal with. So I think that's important to keep in mind and to be sure that as you hear these ideas, that you keep your own world in perspective. And if anything, do fewer things when you get back, but do them better. Mission statement. I know everybody has their own mission statement, and I'll just share with you our mission statement because I think that for us it works very effectively. It's one sentence. It's to lead souls to a conversion of heart and a deepening of faith, and to build up the local body of Christ. So to lead souls to a conversion of heart or a deepening of faith, and to build up the local body of Christ. Although other things are important, such as continuing to build awareness, those are secondary to that ultimate goal. And to that end, I think you need to be very proud of being an EWTN partner. Try not to become smarter than EWTN in their programming, if you can help it. I know that's a temptation for all of us. But EWTN has led to thousands of conversions of heart in our market, and I'm sure that you're aware of those conversions of soul in your market. And as you do your own outreach, be sure to share those conversion stories. They are the reason why you do what you do. Trust. If anybody's ever asked, why do people give to a nonprofit? Every person would say it's because they trust you. So what are the bases of trust? There are four segments Ken Blanchard talks about as the basis of trust. The first one is you need to be competent. You need to be able to deliver on what you're saying. And try not to say things that you can't deliver on. Because even though you may try, that's not good for some people. It's not good enough. You need to build that trust as the one virtue that you'll be judged on. The second, believable. Do you act with integrity? Do you become emotional and start using adjectives to describe your programming that makes it sound like it'll change their life for sure? That's in sales, we'd call that feature barfing, right? Feature barfing is, if you're selling an automobile, you would say, oh, it's the best thing in the world. It has 15-inch tires. It goes 180 miles an hour, just 4 RPM. That's feature barfing. And sometimes we do that in the Catholic radio world. We're trying to invite people to listen to Catholic radio, and we try to oversell it. We need to undersell it and simply invite them to listen to Catholic radio. One of the best ways to invite them to listen to Catholic radio is during the Lenten season. So leading up to the Lenten season, you may want to run some promos that invite your listeners to ask one friend or family member this Lent or leading up to Lent to listen to Catholic radio. It's a perfect time because people are trying to think of something to do to grow in faith. They're already accustomed to change. And many people now tell us, now that we've started that I started listening to Catholic radio last Lent or two Lents ago because I was invited to listen. I gave it a try, and it worked out well. They don't need to say that they're going to love this program. In fact, tell them not to oversell it. Tell them they're not going to love any program. Just try it during this Lent.
Going back to the competence, our registration doesn't have a strong signal in certain areas. As we're trying to invite them to listen to our station, it's a bit of a challenge because we're saying, listen to us, but only when you're in the car. And when you get at the home, you can't get the signal. That takes away my confidence on talking about the radio, listening to the radio. That might be just me. It's a little bit of it puts me on an iffy situation with them when talking about the radio when they can't listen to it from their homes.
Yeah, that's a tough. You're going to be judged on, one of the things you don't have control over now, if you own the station already, is the size of your radio station reach. So one of the things you can do on the station is to run public service announcement that explain your signal. That we go to the north to Marion, Ohio. That we go to the south in Chillicothe. That we go to the east in Xenia. And then at night it constricts. And it constricts to about the I-270 area. You want to under-promise and over-deliver, and you want to be very clear from the beginning that you want to invite them to grow in faith, and they can do that through Catholic radio. Give it a try. If they live outside of your area, then be honest and just say, you can listen in on our smartphone app or EWTN smartphone app. There are other ways to listen in. Caring about others and communicating. I can already tell that everybody does that very well. That's a strong element of trust. Dependable, maintain reliability. Just one quick thought about the programming. short-form programming is, as far as I can tell, what you should focus on. In short-form, do you guys know what short-form is compared to long-form? Short-form is during the station breaks. So everybody can do an excellent job of those station breaks and then rely on the expertise of EWTN and other Catholic radio sources. Try not to leave here today, because you're going to hear in a few minutes other ideas on long form, you know, programs 1 hour long or half an hour long or a bishop's program. But try not to focus on that until you take care of the basics of financial sustainability. Financial sustainability as apostolates is an important part of what you do. Service. First one, think proactively. So when you leave here today or leave here over the weekend, think about who you are, what your station reach is, what the potential is for your station, and to think about what you want to do in a really clear way these next 12 months. You have to think before you act, because your financial situation in most Catholic radio stations is month to month, and then you can become very reactive. Raise your hands if you've ever been asked by a board member, a listener, this question. All you got to do is, and then fill in the blank. How many people have been given the all you got to do is, and then for 6 months you're working on the all you got to do is, that may or may not fit in your long-term plan. So think proactively. I already talked about avoiding emotionalism, trying not to oversell Catholic radio. Simply talk about conversion of heart and that it may help their faith journey. Excellence. Let's see. When you record a segment and it's not good, then don't put it on air. The best way to have service excellence is to do it over. And people will respect that. Now, it doesn't have to be 150% perfect, but have service excellence.
Back to the emotionalism. When I'm talking to others about Catholic radio, they have no clue what I'm going to turn. I'm on fire. I share testimonies. Are you telling me that that's not a good approach?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there might be a difference, and I'm not trying to make it a word of or semantics. Share your enthusiasm. Make sure you use your station number a lot of times, because that's what they need to remember, right? Yes, give them a card. Make sure that they have an opportunity to tune into that number, but absolutely be enthusiastic. Just try not to go over the top. You're going to love Father Larry Richards at 4 o'clock. You can certainly say that depending on the friend. But you have to be careful as well, because many fallen away or lukewarm Catholics are sensitive to that overselling, huh? They don't want to be told that they're not a good Catholic. They already believe they are a good Catholic. Solution conscious, not problem oriented. That's one of my favorite management sayings. When something goes wrong, you get together and find a solution. You don't whine about it. If you have volunteers, an example of this, if you have volunteers and you feel like you're herding cats, does anybody ever feel like they're herding cats? You got 10 volunteers that were asked to do a particular project, and then 8 of them do it somewhat similar to what you've asked, but 2 of them are thinking of their own way of doing it, and they're telling the other 8 to start doing it their way. Those kind of situations are a perfect time to talk about what is the solution. So for us, the solution to that problem is having job descriptions for the core jobs, and to go over those, and to be sure that you have somebody that trains them that knows how to do those jobs, as opposed to just kind of going over something for 1 minute, expecting that they're going to get it, and then 6 hours later you found out they called the wrong list, right? I don't know if that's ever happened to you. It certainly happened to us. The last part, can-do attitude. Always try to find opportunities for more souls, huh? In Columbus, we have a very active men's and women's conference, and they were peaking out at about 2,000 per conference. But in working with them, and our assistant director, Dave Orsborne, who's in the back, he's been working with the conferences very intricately, but we asked the question, you know, what could we do here at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio to help those conferences? And in our case, we were taking care of our financial needs, so we had the opportunity to think a little bit bigger. So we launched a two-day pre-registration drive. And that pre-registration drive has resulted in a huge increase in the attendance of those already well-attended Catholic radio conferences. So look for ways to be a can-do person. I talked about knowing thyself, and you can look on the wall here. Your reach at the station is a critical part of what you do, and you need to know what that reach is. Every hour of the day, if you're an AM station, FM station, just know that. The first example is a large city, maybe something like a Columbus, Ohio, where the commuter area in blue is covered by the station, you know, 90-95%. And that's ideal. And the reason why that's ideal is that over 90% of radio listeners listen while they're in the car. Everybody knows that? So if that's the case, and you're out in a rural area where the commuter average commute time is 15 minutes, it's going to be a different dynamic. And just know that and know what those limitations are, because that will tell you how big your bread box is or how big your business should be. Because again, I think you might leave today and think, wow, you know, these other stations, they have 5 part-time staff members. That's not going to happen if you have a station, a low-power FM, in a distant rural area that has very little commuter traffic. The second example, let's say you have coverage of most of the city, but these little blue dots designate the peak part of the city, population-wise. Well, you only cover half of that. So you have to think about, how does that impact the number of Catholics you might serve? And then the last is a small city where you have only about a 50% commuter traffic rate. So again, think about how you would draw your own map and understand how you might take the best steps from this best practice sharing to realistically address maybe one or two ideas, or improve the one or two ideas that you're already doing. Sustainability, this is an example of what we do in Columbus, and again, this is not going to be what you might do in your own market. Half of our income comes from sustaining members. We ask our listeners very frequently, especially during our drives, to become a sustaining member at $20 a month. That as a $20 a month sustaining member, you become a partner in this evangelization effort, and that we have expenses every month, so we need you to step forward as a sustaining member. 20% comes from business membership. Business membership is $50 a month. Now, business members receive some goods and services in exchange, right? They receive sponsorship messages. In our case, it's twice a week, 104 mentions a year at 15 seconds. If you have a smaller market, perhaps you'll have a 30-second sponsorship message because you have more time. And you won't have as many advertisers. And this business membership model, and I'll go into the details of this and then toss it over to the rest of the team, but the business membership is credit card only, $50 a month, 15 seconds. You have to follow FCC regulations for sponsorship. And for us, we have a max based on the number of breaks from EWTN of about 150 at 15-second radio commercials. So every break, there's only one in each break, so you don't have multiple messages to kind of tick everybody off about your broadcast. And then the last part is the one-time gifts, and you guys are all familiar with those. Those will come in during the drives or through a mailer, etc. Sustainability also, and I put in the one corner, does anybody have a commercial station? Or do you know if you have a commercial station? There's a few commercial stations. You can, as a Catholic radio station, also sell commercial advertisements. Traditional commercial advertisements have a call to action, comparative statements, and those can be sold at the market rate for your community. And those usually are 30 seconds or 1 minute long. And in our case, we have kind of a tiered way of becoming what we call evangelization partners. And they month to month say, I'm going to be with you the whole year, every month, and I'm going to do $340 a month, or I'm going to do $1,000 a month. And for us, we do 4 commercials a day. And from an advertising perspective, if you hear a message 3 times in a 7-night sleep cycle, subconsciously you receive that signal. So when you see Coca-Cola all over the place, right? They have an advertisement on the truck. They have an advertisement when you buy the Coca-Cola. They have the advertisement when you go through McDonald's. They're looking to be sure that they reach that 3 mental impressions over 7 nights. So that's why these evangelization commercial advertisers are so powerful. They get 4 commercials a day for, if they want to do 1 week, they'll still get that impression on their prospective buyers. They want to do it 2 weeks, it's going to be even more, 3 weeks more, 4 weeks even more. But we have about 7 or 8 of those commercial evangelization month-over-month advertisers. I think you guys already know this, but the target groups you reach is everybody. I've heard some people say that, well, you're really after the nuns or the atheists, or you're really after the strong Catholics. You're after everybody, every soul that wants to learn the truth. In particular, 2 huge groups, lukewarm Catholics, those are already in the pews, that may not be very very involved in a day-to-day basis in their faith, and fallen away Catholics. Business membership, I've already talked a little bit about these details. You can write down some of those, 15 seconds, max of 150 if you have a small station or stations. You might do 30-second sponsorship messages, max of about 75. So once you start lengthening the time of your sponsorship message, you'll have fewer spots available. And then in the package that I had as a handout, you'll see the guidelines for sponsorship messages. I think it's in page 2, perhaps. Page 2 or 3. No, it's page 2, and then the form is on page 2, and then page 3 is an example of submissions of sponsorship messages and how you may want to change them to be appropriate with FCC regulations. So you can kind of take that and chew on that if you're not already using sponsorship messages. How many people are selling sponsorship messages now? Oh, good. A good group. Those who aren't doing it, I think it's particularly good if you have a small station. There's a station in Tiffin, Ohio that reaches about 10,000 people. She has a budget of about $10,000 a year. She has to pay the gas and electric bills. And she has 40 businesses. She asked the Knights of Columbus to find 40 businesses to become a business member, and her budget's filled. So she can go on with her work instead of spending all of her time churning real quickly. The do's and don'ts are listed on the board here. The do, you can use the organization name. You can describe the product or service. You can make value neutral statements. You can say the years of business. You can use a website address. You can use the location. You can even use an established company slogan, and that's kind of the one out. In fact, one of our sponsors says, we make the good earth better. Well, that's a comparative statement, but since they use it as a slogan across all their marketing, they can use that in a sponsorship message. You don't use comparative statements. You don't use advantages. You don't have a call to action. You can't use pricing or savings information. You can't use first or second person. And I always say, this is not an FCC regulation, don't use a phone number. If 90% of the people listen in the car, if you give a phone number, how many people can write down a phone number? Not anybody that I know. So it's a waste of airspace, in my opinion. Some people persist. Go ahead and let them do it if they have to.
Can you explain about the first and second person? What does that mean?
You can't say you. And actually, in the third handout that I have that we passed out, it'll give an example. The submission from the business used you and we and those other pronouns. You can't do that. So you'll have to rewrite it. And one of the examples there is how you could rewrite that. You don't lose any effectiveness in what you're saying. You just make sure that you're following those guidelines.
Mm-hmm.